You know, as I reflected on these readings for today, the message that really came across to me was a message of hope. Hope in what lies ahead. Now, I'm not talking about a hope that is the economy, or hope that is political, like the opposing factions will start working together. I'm not speaking of that kind of hope. I'm speaking about a hope that goes beyond this life. A hope that even though we die, we live. But not just live, that we will live gloriously. To me, that's the hope that comes from those readings today. But I want to begin by the story of Abraham in the first reading. It's a strange story for us, but it's a very important one. You know, God had promised Abraham that he was to become the father of a great nation. God told him that his descendants would be as numerous as the stars in the sky or as the sand on the seashore. But Abraham and Sarah, his wife, were old, beyond the childbearing years, and they had no children. But God keeps promising Abraham that this is going to happen. And Abraham is called to trust. Well, the scene today in that first reading is the scene of an ancient covenant ritual. And what is happening there, God has told Abraham to slaughter some animals, to cut them in half, and to lay one half on one side and the other half on the other, with some room to pass in between the halves. Now, if that had been a normal covenant, both parties to the covenant would have passed through. And what they would really be saying to each other is, if I don't keep my word, may I be like these animals. But if you'll notice in the story, Abraham does not pass through the parts of the animal. Only God does. And God does, symbolized by that blazing torch that Abraham saw pass between the halves of the animal. What's happening there is God is making a one-sided covenant. Abraham is not making a promise to God. God is making a promise to Abraham that he would be his God. And of course, God is also saying, if I don't keep my word, then I'm really no longer God. Now let's go to the next reading. And there's where you really see the hope. You know, Jesus is transfigured. He's transformed. It says his face changes in appearance. His clothes become dazzling white. But also notice that he's talking to two people, Moses and Elijah. And it says, they too appeared in glory. That's an important detail. And it says they're discussing the exodus of Jesus that he was soon to accomplish in Jerusalem. What did that mean, exodus? Well, the word we know for exodus most commonly is when the Jewish people were rescued from Egypt out of slavery by Moses and brought across the desert into the promised land. And so, using that word is referring back to that event. But Jesus is going to accomplish another exodus. That exodus from the domination of sin that this world is caught up in, to now leading us from the slavery of sin into the freedom of the sons and daughters of God. That's the exodus he's going to accomplish. And he will do this by his dying, rising, and ascending to the Father. Now, Peter, in that passage, wants to hang on to that moment. And wouldn't we all, to see the glory of God manifested in the face of Jesus? Peter doesn't want it to go away. But just as he's talking, a cloud cloud comes. Now, that too is highly symbolic. Because in the Old Testament, the presence of a cloud was very often the symbol of the presence of God. Think about when Moses was in the desert with the passing, during the Exodus, they had this meeting tent. And when Moses wanted to consult with God, he would go into that tent and the cloud would come down. And he would consult with God. Another time when that happens is when the temple is dedicated in Jerusalem. It said the cloud came down and filled the temple with the presence of God. Later, when Israel has been very unfaithful, there's a passage, and I forget if it's in Ezekiel or Jeremiah, where it says the cloud lifted from the temple and God's presence was no longer there. And so that cloud in that gospel is really saying God was present there. And then they hear this voice. This is my chosen son. Listen to him. That message, those words, ring through the centuries. Because you and I are called to listen to God's chosen son, God's beloved son. That is our way to salvation. To hang on to his words. Remember in the Gospel of John when everybody's leaving Jesus because he said, you must eat my body and drink my blood. He turns to the apostles and he says, are you going to leave me too? And Peter says, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We are called to listen to the words of Christ. Not only to listen, but to build our lives on those words. To know that is our hope, our only hope of eternal life. But the point of real hope in all that is, just as Moses and Elijah shared the glory, we too will share the Lord's glory. In whatever way we don't quite understand how that'll work, we will be transformed. And that glory that appeared in Christ Jesus, that glory that was shared with Moses and Elijah, will also be shared with us. And we will enjoy that glory for all eternity. You know, St. Paul, in that second reading, reinforces this message. He says he will change our lowly body to conform to his glorified body. That's the change we long for. That's our hope. Now, there will be some people in our world today who would say, oh, that's just pie in the sky. That's empty promises just to help people who can't face the reality of death. And so if we promise them they're going to live forever, then they won't be quite so afraid of dying. Karl Marx, whose philosophy was really the root of the communist world, he had another expression for it. He called it the opiate of the people. In other words, he said, the rich and the powerful, they tell everybody through religion that when they die, all's going to be well. And he said, that is the way they keep the masses under control, by promising this glorious future. And so how do we know that those promises are true? Well, there's several ways, but I'd only want to go into one because you don't want to stay here all day. But the one I want to use is simply, go back to the Old Testament and then see how many of those prophecies about Jesus are actually fulfilled. You're going to hear that especially during Holy Week, where it talks about using from the prophet Isaiah, what we call the Psalms of the Suffering Servant, how this servant that could not have been known to Isaiah is described so most perfectly in his writings. Jesus fulfills those Old Testament prophecies, and yet those are written centuries before the birth of Jesus. It shows that the promises God makes were fulfilled in Christ Jesus. So therefore, you and I can trust that the promises that have come to us through Christ Jesus are going to be fulfilled, because God will be faithful to his word. What we are called to do, like Abraham, is to walk in faith. We have to walk in faith in things we cannot see. We must put our trust, our hope, in the word that God has spoken to us through Jesus, his Son. That is our promise of life. Lent is a time for us to rekindle that hope. It's a time that you and I are asked to enter more intensely into prayer. It's a time that we're asked to discipline ourselves. You know, St. Paul in that reading says, some of you walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. We do that when we are not willing to take up our cross and follow Jesus. When we want to make our religion something comfortable and easy. Kind of when we say to ourselves, oh, well, God will approve whatever I do. We do that when we focus more on our personal comfort. He said they make their gods, their stomach, their gods. When our focus is on how comfortable I am, how much pleasure I have, we are making our stomachs our God. And how easily you and I get caught up more in the thoughts of things of earth than the thoughts of things of heaven. Again, Lent is a time to call ourselves back, to discipline ourselves, to remind ourselves what is truly important in life, what will last forever. Jesus wants us to put our trust in him. Jesus wants us to believe in him. He wants us to give our lives to him. May we renew ourselves this Lenten season, and like Abraham, walk in faith.